My friends, I don't know about you, but it seems like I'm having a sort of deja vu sort of moment. Like, I feel like we've experienced this mass already. We certainly have experienced readings much like the ones we have today. Perhaps because we did. We proclaimed Luke's version of the narrative, proclaimed last Sunday from the fourth gospel, John Gospel, on Divine Mercy Sunday. Clearly there is more for us to meditate on and that upper room experience that Jesus had with his disciples. There is more that we can experience in our continual encounter with the Word in that same encounter. You know, there are many similarities between the gospel account we heard last Sunday from John and what we hear today. Both gospel writers, the Holy Spirit, of course, write down for us that this was about peace. Peace be with you. Jesus brings about peace. Jesus is peace. Encounters with the Lord ought to bring about peace. And yet, as we see in both of these gospel accounts, sometimes we fail to cooperate with our Lord's grace in these encounters, and we don't have peace. We're consumed by worldly fear. Fear is talked about in both of these gospels. They were startled, they were terrified, Luke tells us, troubled. John reminds us they were locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Both gospel writers are very clear about Jesus' physicality. Jesus tries to give them proof of the physical nature of his resurrection. He shows them his hands and his feet. He calls them to touch him. I'm not a ghost. There was a certain euphoria that they were experiencing, yet some skepticism. They were incredulous with joy, Luke tells us, and amazed. John says that they rejoiced. Now, I think it's an interesting word, incredulous. Almost like it's Luke is telling us, the Holy Spirit is telling us, that they were experiencing something that they felt almost too good to be true. But it was true. But they struggled to believe. Forgiveness is talked about in both these gospel accounts. Jesus speaks of forgiveness. In John, he breathed on his first priest and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." And today, through Luke, he commands them to preach. Preach about what? Well, preach about repentance and forgiveness of sins. There are, of course, naturally some similarities in these two gospel accounts. It was, after all, the same historical event. Perhaps it's natural, then, the question that echoed in my mind last Sunday, perhaps yours as well, continues to echo in our minds this Sunday. Why were the disciples locked behind closed doors in the upper room? Last week, John reminds us, it was a week later. Two times they've been locked behind this door in the upper room, afraid. But why were they startled and terrified? Why did they think that they were seeing a ghost? Why was Jesus in the flesh, in his resurrected body, so hard to believe? After all, in Luke's gospel, he had already accounted several occasions of our Lord appearing to these same disciples. The women, including Mary Magdalene, saw the empty tomb. Angels told them that Jesus had risen. The women ran back, told the apostles. Of course, they didn't believe the women. Fine. But Peter ran to the tomb. Doesn't mention John. Surely John was there. And they found the tomb to be empty. Says they were amazed. It doesn't speak about belief like it does in John's gospel. Luke is the primary source for those two disciples, likely a married couple, on their road to Emmaus, on their road to nowhere. It's briefly mentioned in Mark, But in Luke's account, we hear Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. We hear that again today. Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? And then they returned. They went into the fire, if you will. They went back to Jerusalem and were in the upper room, and they said, "The Lord is risen." And the disciples turned, Peter told us. he appeared to Simon Peter too. And that's the part of the narrative that we join here this Sunday. So many encounters with the risen Lord. So many firsthand experiences by those in the upper room. Still fear, still a lack of peace, still troubled hearts. Why were the disciples locked in a room if they had seen the risen Lord, if he encountered the God of love and mercy who had overcome their sin and death? You know, as I prayed with this throughout the week, and yesterday it was so beautiful out, I was super tired, so I needed a cup of coffee, so I had to sit outside. I didn't want to bring it here in the church. Well, I sat back there, and I just asked that question. Why were they consumed by worldly fear? Why were they startled and terrified and troubled, even though they were literally just talking about Jesus? They were literally just talking about their encounter with the Lord. Hello, here I am. My prayer led me to see Jesus' seed sown on the path, this beautiful, important parable. Well, perhaps they were startled because the seed of their encounter fell among rocks. And while they were certainly filled with great joy in that moment, there was little depth to their faith. There was no root. And in time of temptation, and certainly this was a great temptation, people were hunting them down. They wanted them dead as well, and they fell away. They started to rationalize. Well, maybe I didn't see what I thought. Maybe it didn't happen the way I thought, and they were consumed by fear. Or perhaps the seed of the encounter fell among thorns, and cares of the world and anxieties choked it out. So too with all of us. After all, we too have encountered the risen Lord. We encounter him at every single Mass. We've encountered him in all the sacraments. We please God encounter him in our daily conversations in prayer. And we receive this with great joy, these encounters of intimacy with the Lord. And it's an awesome encounter, but I still have cancer, perhaps. Not me, but there are people here in this church that struggle with serious illnesses. That was a great encounter, but I'm still suffering. It's a great encounter, but I still am out of a job, or I'm being bullied at school. Or maybe I don't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend that I desire. I do not know what my vocation is, or perhaps I am living my vocation, but I am in a troubled marriage, or so many other things. Maybe I'm fighting addiction and just am so enslaved by it. These anxieties, these worldly fears then consume me, and it does not bear fruit for the kingdom. These anxieties choke out the grace. It does not allow my encounter with the Lord to bear fruit. You know, my friends, we are called to till the soil. We're called to nurture the soil of our soul so it bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And when our soil is not tilled, we don't bear fruit. And we tend to be, as I was speaking about last Sunday, we tend to live in Lent. We tend to live as Lenten people and not as Easter persons. We don't live in supernatural joy that is everlasting because we don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The disciples struggled in today's gospel because they had not yet experienced Pentecost. They had not yet been overcome by the outpouring of love itself, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus refers to the sending of the Spirit literally in the next verse, not read in today's gospel. Next verse says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This, of course, mirrors what's going on in the second reading from 1 John, one of my favorite books in the Bible, which speaks of an advocate. The Holy Spirit's normally the advocate. In John here, of course, is speaking of Jesus Christ being our advocate. Of course, where Jesus is, the Spirit is present. We need the Holy Spirit. The advocate helps us unlock the door. The advocate helps us to not live in fear. My friends, even though the apostles and some of the disciples had seen and talked and even touched the risen Christ, they still were not completely transformed by their encounters. Their transformation occurred when they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the end of our Easter season, the birthday of the church. Well, there is good news for us. We do not have to wait till May 19th. We have already experienced Pentecost. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit happens every single day in the sacraments, every single day in our prayers. We do not have to wait. We are, when we open ourselves to it, experiencing right now here in the heart of Reston in this Holy Mass. Ultimately, the solution to not being troubled, not living in worldly fear, is to embrace the reality of the resurrection. I keep talking about the physical reality of the resurrection. And that someone who demonstrates the power to rise from the dead has authority, or ought to have authority, over our lives. And we should trust him completely. We ought to turn our lives over to him and be generous in seeking him. But if we don't believe in the physical nature of our Lord's resurrection, why would we believe that the Lord is physically present here in this Mass in a few moments on this altar? Why would we believe in any of the sacraments if we do not believe literally in a physical resurrection? My friends, if we want to be transformed as the apostles were, ultimately transformed in the Spirit, if we want to have the courage, the confidence, the humble confidence Peter had and demonstrated in the first reading from the book of Acts, preaching the good news, even at the risk of his life, if we want to have this and a whole lot more, we really need to open our hearts and our minds to the movement of grace. We ought to open our hearts and minds widely to the movement of the Holy Spirit. You know we received the Holy Spirit. We received the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in baptism when we were tattooed on our soul, when Father, Son, and Holy Spirit began to dwell within us. We know that we were strengthened in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We received that baptism. We were strengthened in these gifts when we were confirmed. We were given a mission. We became part of church militant, fighting soldiers for Christ to bring about the kingdom. We know that the Spirit moves and works in our daily life. We've experienced the Holy Spirit. We know that it's through and in the Spirit that we pray, especially when we meditate on the Word. We know that when we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ right here in this altar, that Father and Spirit are also present. We know all of these things, but how can we open our hearts more widely to the Holy Spirit? Well, first, of course, by simply living the sacramental life of the church as we are right now here in this Holy Mass. And to do as the psalmist reminds us, to continually turn to the Lord in prayer. Especially, of course, the prayer, the perfect prayer of this Holy Mass, but also to better pray the Mass, to prepare for the Mass by having read the readings and to frequently meditate with Holy Scripture throughout the week and by making daily examinations of conscience and frequent confessions. That we not just dump off our sin, give it to the Lord, of course, but that we grow in the virtue to be to become saints. Infinite graces are available to us at every Mass, and we receive these graces in proportion to our preparation and our desire to receive them. My friends, we must open our hearts and our minds widely to the Holy Spirit. Are not our hearts burning right now as they did in the disciples, as Jesus speaks to us on our way and opens the scriptures to us? Are not our hearts bursting within us right now as we prepare to receive the God of love and mercy, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ here in a few moments? Are not our hearts filled to the brim with joy as we are surrounded by such a wonderful family, a community of faith that has locked arms in battle with us, trying to bring about the kingdom in the heart of Reston? My friends, my prayer for all of us, my prayer for myself as well, is that we may be more alive in the Spirit, that we may repent, of course, and be converted, that we may all turn to the Lord daily and generously and relationally in an intimate conversation in our prayer throughout the day, that we may help others come to understand and receive this same gift by speaking to those we love. Give 1 Peter 3:15. Just give them the reason for the hope that is within us. And then, please God, we can continue every single day, every single moment of every day, to have over and over again deja vu moments, deja vu peace be with you sort of moments throughout the day. And may God be praised. Amen.